Boy, I can tell when his blood pressure's up a few points. Can't you? Here's Gruber.
Thank you, Bob. It is January the 24th, a Thursday, in Las Vegas for the SHOT Show, as we have been all week. We'll continue here tomorrow, but we have the privilege of having Dan Kildee on the program, Democrat for Michigan's 5th Congressional District, Chief Deputy Whip for the Democrats, House Budget Committee appointment just recently, and a lot of things going on. Congressman, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me back on.
Always good to have you here. I want to talk about something we agree on, and then we'll get into a couple of things maybe we don't. Let's start with PFAS. Everybody agrees that PFAS needs to be addressed. It's an emerging contaminant, a problem for many communities across Michigan, frankly, around the world, not just in Michigan. We have identified it quite extensively here, and you're making some moves on that and pressing the agenda when it comes to PFAS and cleaning up the environment. Tell us about that.
Yeah, yesterday we launched a bipartisan task force, starting with about 14 members, but that's growing pretty fast, Democrats and Republicans, to try to cut through the typical divides and get something done on this PFAS crisis, which really is going to be a crisis. It's emerging every day. New sites are being located. We know this is really dangerous stuff. Its toxicity is measured quite literally in the single parts per trillion,
which right.
is just an infinitesimal amount. So we really need to take action, cleaning it up, preventing it from being released into the environment anymore, and dealing with the health impact. And so this was a group of Democrats and Republicans that said, hey, let's do this together, and hopefully that means we'll be able to get something done.
And I hope you're right. It's associated with thyroid disease, cancers, potentially a link to autism, which would explain a lot why we've had a spread in autism in this country, an explosion really over the last few years. But the problem is that with everything going on in Washington right now, or the fact that nothing's really going on, you can't really get to the priorities like PFAS, where the government partially shut down. Democrats and Republicans at odds. The White House now being told that they are not allowed, that Donald Trump is not allowed to give the State of the Union, as was first proposed on January 29th. Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, your Democratic leader, saying, you're not welcome here. Do you agree with that?
Well, I think what she, to be more precise, said, let's arrange a date when the shutdown's over. And actually, late last night, the president agreed. He said, let's find a date after the shutdown is complete. You know, I'm not sure it would be the way I would handle it, to be frank. But you know what? We're not living in normal times right now. My view is this is no way to run a government. It's shut down politics, whether
well, let me ask you this.
By Democrats or Republicans. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, let me ask you this. One of your colleagues, another freshman Democrat from Michigan, Alyssa Slotkin, says, get in the damn room. It's time to negotiate, which I would happen to agree with her. She's my member of Congress. She's been on this program a few times. She seems to be quite to the point, and maybe not as hysterical as our new friend from New York's 14th Congressional District, AOC, but do you think it's time to have a conversation? First of all, fair questions, because of everything that's been said out there. Do you, Dan Kildee, support open borders, or do you support physical barriers? Where do you come down on that?
I don't support open barriers, and honestly, I don't know anybody here who would support what people would refer to as open barriers.
Open barriers or open borders?
Pardon me?
I just want to make sure you're speaking. You said open barriers. Do you mean you do not support open borders?
Yeah, exactly. I'm sorry. Open borders, correct.
That's okay. I'm making sure you're clear here. I don't want people picking on you because you misspoke a little bit. You do not support open borders, period. All right, so what do we do? I mean, in the past, there's been votes that support $25 billion, $20 billion. Now we're quibbling over $5.7 billion. The president says we need border security, more enhancement for ports of entry. I agree with that. Money for health care for those jammed up at the border, $800 million. I agree with that. There's a lot of good things in here that seem to make sense. Why can't we get a conversation? Right now, the Democrats say, we're not going to talk about anything. Your leadership, not you specifically, but your leadership, and it's where do we go from here?
Well, I think there's two issues. One, I think you're right. There's a legitimate need for us to invest in enhanced border security. And I think many of us, particularly dealing with drug trafficking, want us to invest in interdiction at the ports of entry, through the air, through the mail. And so we would like to see a greater focus on that. But I think we can find the common ground. Here's where I think this thing falls apart. We can't use shutdowns, whether it's Democrats initiating or Republicans, to get something through the the legislative process. So my fight, my personal fight, is to find a way to de-weaponize the shutdown mentality that both parties have used, but to be fair, and never go through this again. And I think what I'm hearing from a lot of my Democratic colleagues is, yeah, we'll negotiate, but we're not going to negotiate with this additional leverage that's being placed by having 800,000 people going without paychecks.
So if we get
that sort of ticking clock, making it worse and worse. My point is this. It actually makes it less likely that people will come together with goodwill to get things done when one party is basically proverbially holding again.
And as you said, both parties have used that as a weapon. It's been used as a weapon both ways. I guess if we just get our budgets done and submitted on time, that would probably be taken out of the playbook.
About that.
So that'd be a good thing. I need to ask you about a couple of other things because it's just, like you say, unusual times. Let me ask you about this. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez suggesting a 70% marginal tax rate for those making over a certain amount, the rich, if you will. That would take us back quite a ways in time. Your opinion on that?
Well, that's certainly not a rate that I would support. You know, I'm now on the Ways and Means Committee, so I'm in a position to deal with tax policy. My personal view is that if there's going to be any changes in taxation right now, it would be to deal with stabilizing Social Security, using whatever tools we can use to modify the cap, to somehow address that issue. My priority is going to be Social Security. The best way to increase federal revenues is through economic growth. Certainly,
so we agree on that.
Tax rate. I'm more focused on what we need to do to grow the economy, infrastructure investment. Rather than starting with taxes, let's start with the kinds of investments that grow the economy, and then we can adjust the tax rate accordingly. Economic growth is the only way we've ever been able to balance the budget. We've never been able to tax our way to a balanced budget. We ought to really focus on growth.
Be careful. You might sound like a Republican there. I'm just kidding you.
I think there are a lot of Democrats that feel that way, and the hope is that we're going to be able to find some common ground on that subject.
I hope you're right. Dan Kildee, we got to leave it right there. 5th Congressional District, Michigan. Thank you, as always.
Thank you very much. Bang, bang, shoot 'em up.